Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 798 for the week of January 24th, 2025, or 26, rather. I'm Chris Privateer. Our second show of the new year. Uh-huh. And I got some friends here. First off, Kelly Ryan.
Hello, hello.
Second off, Robert Albright.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
You know what you did.
Damn it.
And then finally, Josh Carpenter.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Is everybody frozen?
No, not here. We got Gulf air coming in, and it's just kind of like sunny and supposed to be rainy later. No frozen stuff.
I've got rain clouds.
It's cold, and there's snow on the ground here, but it's not snowing. It's just really cold.
Last I checked, it was snowing pretty hard here. I think we're supposed to get like 9 inches.
Oof.
At least that's what the forecast said yesterday. The grocery store was a madhouse yesterday.
So is even Kansas have the thing where everyone goes nuts and buys all the bread and milk to make, I don't know what, milk sandwiches?
Yes, okay. Very much so. Good chunks of the bread section and the bottled water section were just empty. Because I guess people are worried about the power and the water going out or something.
Well, if you got snow is one thing, you get the ice, that's the bad stuff.
Yeah, and supposedly we're supposed to get ice too.
Yeah.
Well, my weather app is saying it's raining right now. I would have to get up and go look.
Skipped the show last week because of multiple family issues.
Yeah.
Our dog passed away last week.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And it's been weird not having to get up every 2 hours to let him outside. Or last night when I was getting the trash cart and putting it up to the house and being like, well, I should probably bring the snow shovel around here so that I can clear a path for the dog. Oh, wait. You know, that kind of stuff. But he was old. He lived a good life. R.I.P. Rex, you were a good dog. We miss you very much. At the same time, I don't miss having to open the door to sub-zero temperatures at 3 a.m. and have the shivers until I get back to bed and cocoon up.
Well, that's good. I ended up having a family issue this week. My mother-in-law, who has been sick for a number of years, passed away Thursday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was my family tragedy for the week. Not that I plan to have one every week, just to clarify.
Yeah, let's not make that a goal.
Should I cheer us up by bitching about a bad movie?
Please. Sure.
Yes.
Well, I didn't realize last month until Vaughn pointed it out that there was a new Silent Hill movie coming out this year. Return to Silent Hill, made by the same person that did the first movie. And the first Silent Hill movie was actually really good. And this one is based off of Silent Hill 2, and it is bad. Oh my god, it is so bad.
Entertainingly bad or boring bad?
Entertainingly bad, because they follow all of the same beats of the game. They go to the apartment complex and then the hospital and then the hotel. But for some reason, James and Mary are just boyfriend and girlfriend in this game or in this movie. And they shoehorned in a plot about Mary being part of a cult, which I don't think there was a lot of cult stuff in the second Silent Hill game like there was the first one.
Maybe they're trying to make it a more cohesive world.
No, it wasn't cohesive at all, because So we walk out of the movie, and Second Von steps foot out of the movie. He's like, well, that sucked. And I was like, I mean, it wasn't as good as the first one, but I didn't hate it. And then he started pointing out all of these things that they shoehorned in that just made no sense whatsoever. Characters, character motivations, characters that show up in the game that have no resolution. I'm trying to be as vague as possible. I don't know how much I should spoil.
I don't know how many people come to this podcast looking for movie reviews.
Okay.
True.
Apparently you can suffocate somebody with a wet washcloth. which that was a frustrating scene to watch because James walks in. You know, it's the scene from the game where he smothers his wife. And James walks in and you see a pillow in the shot and I'm like, I know exactly how the scene is going to end. But then he just takes the washcloth and, well, I mean, there's a lot more to it than that, but at the end he takes the washcloth and smothers her and it's like, the pillow was right there. Why didn't you just use the pillow?
Maybe they were going for originality and obviously failed.
Yeah. And I can't wait for this to come out on digital because I want to watch it with my mom and sister.
Why?
And, well, because I want to see how they react having no context.
Subject them to a bad movie just so you can get some emotional closure for yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
I will. For some reason, they made James this pretty boy artist who drives a Mustang. I have no idea why.
Could be product placement.
yeah, that's what Vaughn said, that it was product placement for the Mustang. Pyramid Head's introduction is like a wrestler promo with the way that they kind of tease him, and then he's in three scenes and does nothing, and they sort of make the point that Pyramid Head is basically James's guilt way too obvious, way too early. Maria has jack all to do in the movie. We was bitching about it till like 3 a.m. last night, and we came up with so much stuff. I should have written more of it down. It's just, if you're a Silent Hill fan, you're going to have nerd rage after you see this. And what I don't understand is that this director made the first movie, and while the first movie wasn't perfect, it did enough of its own thing that the changes that he made was fine, but it still felt like a Silent Hill movie. And this one, geez, like Vaughn pointed out, like, did this guy even play the game?
I mean, sadly, he may have not had much option.
And I wonder how much of changes that were made was executive meddling, because the first movie had a lot of that stuff too. That's the whole reason why Sean Bean is in that movie, was because they watched it and the executive's like, there are no men in this movie, we need to have a man, which is why everything involving Sean Bean in the first Silent Hill movie just feels like you could cut it out completely and not miss a thing. And sorry, I need to correct Vaughn. Vaughn said that was awful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, according to Vaughn, he played up until the apartments and the Pyramid Head scene, got bored and started doing his own thing. Yeah, that's how I feel too. So, I don't know. I think it's a crappy movie in an interesting way, but it still sucks.
All right.
You're not selling me on it.
I know I'm not selling you on it, unfortunately.
Probably a good thing.
I had so much hope for it, too. Because I don't know if you guys saw the second Silent Hill movie that was in 3D that was basically shoehorned in because I guess their original director and the executives wanted it to be the second movie to be more of an action movie like the Resident Evil ones. And the director, being a fan, refused to do anything with it. So that one had Kit Harington in it, and that one, it was supposed to be more of a Silent Hill 3 movie, and that one just sucked.
There's only one movie in 3D I will ever watch.
Do tell.
Nature Trail to Hell in 3D.
Nature Trail to Hell
in 3D.
That's a Weird Al song.
Yeah, Weird Al song.
Are 3D TVs even a thing anymore?
Not really.
I didn't think they were.
Wait, they were a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Around the time of the 3DS. It was a big 3D push all over.
PS3 era.
Yep.
One of the more interesting things about that movie going experience is that, you know, we were gearing up for a snowstorm yesterday, and that parking lot and movie theater were practically deserted.
Good time to go to the movies.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've got like a coat with a hoodie and my scarf bundled up, and I go to set it on the seat next to me, and Vaughn's like, hang on, let me check if that seat is reserved. He sees how sparse the theater looks, and he's like, no, you're fine.
That or people heard how bad this movie was and was not going to it.
Probably that, too. Like I said, I wanted to like it so bad, but after Vaughn started poking holes in it, it's like, yeah, you're right. This sucks.
I mean, the real horror, I'm sure, was taking place in the Walmart last night.
Yeah. We went to the grocery store, and our local grocery store is already pretty claustrophobic, but people were panic buying bread and water, and we're trying to figure out, like, okay, well, what sustenance should we get for the weekend so that we don't have to go out to eat or order any DoorDash, and it ended up being like ramen and frozen pizzas.
I've got some friends in Texas, and apparently they now have this rule in Texas that, oh, Ted Cruz is out of the country. We're getting a storm. Panic buy everything. So they were running out of, so the grocery stores were already kind of empty by Tuesday.
Oh, man.
I don't know how thick the snow is. I want to say it's about 4 inches deep right now. Like I said, now that I don't have to let the dog out, I don't get a good feel of what the snow depth is. But I've played good games.
Oh, like what?
I can finally consistently beat Kronos and Hades.
Okay. Oh, both parts.
Yeah. Yeah, I struggled with his instant death second AoE. Form.
Yeah. Yeah. Was I remembering correctly when you asked me about it that it is just like you have to get good at avoiding it?
Yeah, it's like a one hit death, and you have to stand in the center of it to avoid it. But I wasn't thinking that. And I was thinking WoW logic, where you have to be away from the center to avoid it. And I was dying a lot. So I have all the weapons unlocked. I've got four familiars, though. Guess the only one I'm using, even if the other ones might be more useful.
Is there a cat?
Yes. Her name is Tula, and she helps you fish. And she attacks things if you... like zoom by her while you're attacking, and all the bosses have the little quips like "damn cat" or "get that cat off of me."
But I would say you should try some of the other ones to see what the other quips may be.
Yeah, well, the frog doesn't really do a whole lot except this one for the mini game that you have to do. And the bird gathers stuff for you. But the cat is actually useful in combat.
The frog will like gather souls for you, if I remember right.
Right, right. I probably need that for what is it?
Some of the crafting, wasn't it?
Yeah, some of the crafting. But the cat will fish, which that's a mini game component. So having that being automated, it makes it a godsend. But then
lot more depth in Hades 2 than in the first one.
The fact that she attacks things, and I fully upgraded her so that she attacks up to 10 times before she curls up in a little cat ball and goes back to sleep. Josh, did you ever have her fight that one rat boss that's in the second area?
No. I'm not sure that was in the beta? Early access. I remember you could get the cat in the early access, but I don't remember having her fight a rat boss.
There's a rat boss in the second area that's called Ono, or the Vermin King, and it is tiny and hard to hit. And you go into that fight with the cat and how do you say her name? Melanie?
Yeah. Wow.
I'm just going to call her
L.
I'm going to call her Mel.
Yes.
Mel says, get him to her. And the cat just goes ballistic on the rat boss.
That's awesome.
Which is so nice. Another interesting touch that I don't think I've had happen up to this point is that when I was fighting Kronos last night or yesterday, I had paused and Kronos chewed me out for pausing the game.
Yeah. You used to not be able to pause. They added the ability to pause because people thought it was very unfair because.
Okay.
But I thought that was funny because he's a god of time. So, of course, you can't pause.
Yeah. Go attend to your matter and then come back.
Yeah,
I took a video.
Yeah,
of
now
it.
He just mercilessly makes fun of you for pausing.
Yeah, it's like Kronos. I'm in the middle of something. I have to go take care of work stuff.
You started this battle, not me.
I beat the non-underworld like 5 different times with each weapon to unlock that prophecy. Though I think that you have to focus on the underworld first before you can make any progress in the story. Plus it was getting me a lot of good upgrade materials. What else? I've played this game a lot since we've talked last. I don't know when I'm going to roll credits because I think I've got to take out Kronos a bunch more times. Because just like the first game, you beat the final boss and then you get sent back for story reasons. And I definitely don't want to spoil what happens when you beat Kronos.
Well, Kronos, you can control time, so you can just kind of roll things back.
Yeah, that's basically what he does, and you've got to figure out with another character how to get him to basically stop his time loop. But, you know, I wasn't feeling it at first, but now that I've kind of gotten the hang of the game and spent some time with each of the weapons, this is a damn good game.
Yeah. As you would expect, all the big stuff, all the little stuff, like you were talking about fighting... the sirens and Scylla. Yeah. And oh god, I love that fight. I love the music, like how as you go down into that zone, like they're at the end of each level, like the music that the sirens are playing gets a little bit louder and a little bit louder and a little bit louder and a little bit louder until you actually like go and fight them. And then as you take, you know, it's all three of the sirens. And as you take one of them out, like that instrument stops playing, you know, like one of them playing the drums, like you take out the drum stops and the music.
When Scylla goes into her shell, the vocals get muffled.
Yeah.
The fact that she unlocked another song at some point. So I guess there must be multiple songs.
I think that got added in all I ever saw in the early access was just that one song she was playing. So they probably added that for the full game.
Yeah, it's probably when you beat Kronos for a couple of times. Yeah. She has new songs. And that song is awesome, by the way. The first one. I haven't been able to, well, for the most part, I haven't been able to put this game down. I've gotten sucked into a couple of other games. The one that I really got sucked into the past 2 days is called Let's Build a Zoo. I don't know if you guys knew this, but one of my favorite games of all time is Theme Park.
Hmm, yeah.
The original Bullfrog kind of theme park sim game.
Yeah.
This one is basically Theme Park with animals.
There you go.
Yeah, I picked it up on a Steam sale for dirt cheap, and for Backtrack on Wednesday, you know, when I get downstairs early, I kind of get my stuff set up and then noodle around in a game a little bit before we get started, and booted this one up, and then didn't want to, when we was done recording, I booted it up again and didn't want to come upstairs until like 12:30 at night. It feels like a capitalism simulator because you have to pick like, okay, which foods are you going to feed each animal? Are you going to give them a high nutrition diet, but then have to pay more for food? Or are you going to feed them the bare minimum so that you can save money?
Are you going to build the sad zoo with the sad animals?
I've restarted the game multiple times because I figured something out and it's like, I'm not taking care of these animals properly. I need to adjust how I play because of it. Cause I want healthy animals. Mm-hmm. You can pick in your park whether or not you're going to steal electricity from the government or be eco-conscious and install windmills and
steal
water
it
towers.
From the government.
Yeah. What else? There's multiple morality questions that come in, like like some lady finds a lost dog and you get the option paint it up to look like a lion or give the dog back to the lady and donate $100 or paint these geese to look like peacocks. There's a bunch of them like that, and then every once in a while you'll get a notice from an exotic animal dealer and you have the choice to buy from them or report them to the police. And I've been reporting them to the police because screw you, Joe Exotic. You influencers will come to your park that are named Pootie or Duty Pie, and it's a Stephanie Sterling reference, but it's spelled different. But it was kind of like, oh, I see what you did there. So it wouldn't surprise me if the exotic dealer was named like Bob Exotic or something like that. But I've been trying to play morally right, just because I like animals and I can't bring myself to be cruel to the animals. Like some of the morality stuff is pretty grim. Like, do you properly dispose of the dead animals or do you put a butcher shop in your,
oh God. Oh,
geez. And you're just doing recycle them?
Are you selling it to the public or are you?
No, I think it's to feed back
other
to the animals.
Still kind of,
let me see. Yeah. Processor, convert deceased animals into useful resources.
The Steam page says it has gene splicing. Have you created any horrific abominations of God?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. right now in my pen, I have a snackuck, which is a snake with a duck's head. I had a weird-looking capybara, too, with like a rat. Oh, no, I have a ducket, which is a duck with a rabbit's head. I've had capybaras with goose heads. And the funny thing is that once you start making these abominations, that's when your park really starts picking up, because people want to come see them, and you have to unlock more of the genome for each animal to unlock these abominations.
So it's got morality. It's got Jurassic Park. We're playing God with DNA.
Yep.
It's got everything.
having to manage your animal's proclivity to breeding, because my first game through, I had too many rabbits, and I had to separate the genders by pens, and then later on in a menu, I saw that you could give the rabbits contraceptives. So you're teaching them about condoms and make room for Jesus. Abstinence. See, I'm from Kansas. That's the only sex ed we get.
No, Kelly, you were not teaching them about condoms. You were giving them vasectomies.
Yeah, well, you can turn it on and off. It's the thing. So I don't know. Maybe you're putting the pill in their food. Who knows? But it's like, okay, that's a much better way to handle that than my method of separating the genders. Because the game doesn't do a very good job of tutorializing.
But by the way, I want you to know, Kelly, this game has given us 6 titles so far.
Okay, good. Good.
Because these stories are great.
Yeah. Now I lost my train of thought.
rabbits with vasectomies.
Yeah. Well, no, I was saying that the game doesn't do a very good job of tutorializing because, you know, I start out the game, I build my first pen with rabbits. They don't tell me that you're supposed to put a water bowl in the pen, which is in a separate menu. They say that you have to hook it up to the water source, but they don't explain to you what the water source is. So I thought I had to, like, literally run a pipeline to a water source, but no, it was a there's like a little spigot on your map that has a radius, and your water bowls just have to be within a radius of that spigot.
So it's Zoo Creator, but it's also SimCity.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of the stuff is in depth. Like, you have to, like I said, that you have to adjust the diets for your animals. You have to be constantly on the warehouse every day, making sure that you've bought enough food from day to day, because otherwise you miss one day and your animals, next thing you know, your animals are starving to death. You have to hire zookeepers to assign them to different pens. And I tried assigning the, like, three pens to one keeper in one of my games, and it was like, you need to hire more zookeepers. And I'm like, oh, these guys aren't keeping up with the pens. I probably ought to do like one keeper with two pens, just to keep up with this. So it's so much managing, but so addictive and so fun, and I absolutely love it. This is my kind of jam. I feel terrible. I haven't been in an RPG mood lately. I mean, I guess
Hades is kind of like a pretty, yeah. This time it's even a much deeper on the RPG aspects than the first game was, which was more just kind of actiony.
Yeah.
Some light RPG aspects.
I keep getting sucked into these sim games or sandbox games. I don't know. Maybe it's because there were too many turn-based RPGs last year and it burned me out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's winter time. You want to be cozy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably it. That I'm in a cozy game kind of mood. Though this game is cozy yet grim.
Cozy, yet you get to create abominations that can starve to death. Yeah. You know, cozy.
Yeah. Oh, and when you give contraceptives to your animals and you can tell it to give it to every animal in a pen, and if they're already pregnant, a pop-up comes up that's like, would you like to abort all of the pregnant animals? Like, No, this is horrible. I don't want to get into that discussion, but you could have toned down the language. And you also have a nursery where you can control your breeding program too, which is interesting. Because I'm trying to get all of the different animal colors for each animal.
Well, now I have two work-related stories for the week.
Oh no!
Yeah. So, yeah, let's build a zoo. It's fun. It's cute. It's disturbing.
So basically, you go back and forth from giving them vasectomies and giving them Viagra.
Yeah, pretty much. Especially the animals that breed like crazy. In one of my games, like pandas, you have to put them in the nursery. They just won't. And pigs, for some reason, also won't. But the rabbits, the geese, the hyenas, the monkeys... if you don't keep an eye on them, next thing you know, your pen is full of poop and monkeys and chaos.
Chaos.
I hate chaos.
Oh, and you also have to manage which animals can live with each other, too, because it saves a little bit of space to have animals cohabitate, but it's amazing what won't live with what. Like, I know people who have duck farms that have geese and ducks in the same pen, but for some reason in this game they won't get along. Capybaras can live with anything. Tortoises can live with anything.
Because they're chill.
But
geese like and ducks have no chill.
Yeah, badgers have to have separate pens. But for even some animals will get along. Like for some reason, badgers and gepines get along. I don't know. I don't know if a real zoologist looked at this game, put it that way. All I know is that capybaras are the chillest of the animal kingdom.
Even in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, just giant guinea pigs. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I've played this week.
What did I do? Let's see. Wrote it down here.
You did write it down.
Huh?
You did write it down.
I did. I finished Clover Pit. Gotten both endings and played a bit more. Have finally gotten the groove of making builds that work. And it's like, done a few of those more challenging modes. I haven't finished everything in the game because there's a lot to do with the memory card system, but I've done the rest of just playing around with Lucky Charms and stuff like that is pretty good. So I don't know, I'm like 60% unlocked of all the items in that game, and I think I'm gonna put it aside till a patch comes out, because I'm starting to lose interest in just doing the same slot machine runs kind of over and over, because I've figured out what works for me, and yeah, I'm just kind of making the same build over and over, and it's starting to lose the appeal of I figured this out. I also played some Legends of Dragaea, which I have on stream right now if you're watching us at twitch.tv/rpgamer, but that is an idle RPG where you basically manage a guild of adventurers. You figure out their equipment and stuff and do some light town building. And then kind of let the game endlessly kill bosses over and over and over while you're collecting loot to upgrade your characters so you can go to a higher level dungeon and do the same thing. And I really liked the demo for this, and I was looking forward to having full depth of systems in the final game. And unfortunately, there's not much. There's a lot of skills and builds and equipment types you can kind of focus on trying to manage your characters with. Or you just click auto-equip on most things and just grind until your levels don't matter. And since it's an AFK idle game for most of the combat, that kind of seems to be what dominates your gameplay. So I'm not sure it's that word. It's it needs something. Because otherwise it's just kind of like an idler where you're just waiting for the number to get high enough that you've finished all the things. And without you having to do anything. and without being able to watch anything interesting change as your characters get better. So I don't know. Game could use some improvements, but they're not done developing on it yet. Regardless, if you just want something in the corner that you don't have to attend to very frequently, it's still really good for that. So it's inexpensive, and I still recommend it if you just want something playing on your screen while you do something else, so you can feel like, I want to like be playing a game, but I've got like some other stuff I got to do too, and this works great for that.
I just bought it.
Cool.
What's it called?
Legends of Dragaea. Dragaea.
See, for some reason, when you said that, I thought somebody combined Legend of Dragoon and Legend of Legaia.
I don't know. Yeah, that's
But it doesn't sound... No, that was just my brain combining two things to make a dumb joke. I think I already have this on my... Yeah, this is already on my wish list.
Yeah, because I talked about it when the demo was out.
I think I'll wait for a sale, though. $10 is a little steep for an idle game.
Is it? Yeah, all right. You gotta do what's right for your budget. Yeah, so that's neat. And
it has cat girls.
It does have cat girls and bird guys, demony dudes, and human people. Needs more races, needs more variations of things. I don't know. Whatever. It is what it is. It's cheap. Enjoy it for what it is, and then move on and play. Okay. I've been playing RuneScape again. So I played it like a year and a half ago at this point, where it was like, was it 2 years? 1 year or 2 years? I don't know. It was the RuneScape Leagues and old school RuneScape, and it was my first instance of encountering RuneScape, and I really enjoyed my time there. It had really accelerated XP growth and stuff, which is good for a game like RuneScape, because that's a really, really, really slow grindy game. Well, for the past couple months, the developers of RuneScape, Jagex, have been working on figuring out what to do for the future of the non-old school RuneScape, which is RuneScape, but like improvements and stuff since, you know, 2007 or wherever old school RuneScape forks off from. And they're having their 25th anniversary, and they had a big stream reveal of the Year of Integrity, where they're trying to get rid of a lot of the microtransactions in the game and just change the feel and the obligatory feeling that money spending was starting to have in normal RuneScape, which was part of what drove people to just go play old school RuneScape, because it was before they added a lot of that microtransaction garbage. And so they just did their first big patch release, where they did a light brush up of all the UI elements, and they got rid of the treasure thing, microtransaction thing, which was a big deal the community was all for. So they're making changes there, and I was like, oh, it's a decent time to actually start grinding a RuneScape character out, because they're like actively working to improve the game and give it a feel for the future and stuff. And so I've been playing around with that, and RuneScape without all the XP boosts from a leagues event is indeed very slow. So I've been just peddling around with that a little bit. I'm not super into it, but I'm not into it. So that's where I've been. I've been thinking about other games to play. And, Clair Obscur comes to mind, and finishing up the Final Fantasy Tactics run on the remake, since I haven't done that for whatever reason. But I don't know. We'll see where I land. I still feel like 2026 is the year of the old MMO. We got RuneScape doing these changes. We got the promised changes coming to Final Fantasy XI. We got Guild Wars 1 Reforged, which I did try some of that over the break, and it's like they haven't reforged enough yet, is the way I would put it. They're trying to make it better. It runs on Steam Deck. Like, you can do a lot more with that game now. It's more accessible now. But like, as far as like modernizing the gameplay so that you aren't just running around looking for worms to spawn and waiting for enough rocks to drop off them. Yeah, they haven't really fixed that part of the only campaign that has been touched by the Reforged thing, which is the Prophecies campaign, which everyone says, if you're a new RuneScape or a new Guild Wars player, you should go right to Nightreign or Nightborne or whatever it's called, because the original campaigns feel old and are old and aren't fun. And so I'm like, well, that's fine, but the original campaign is the one that's being reforged and fixed, so that's what I chose to play. So I don't know. Probably bouncing off of Guild Wars 1, but still, it's you're the old MMO. So other things on my mind are getting back into Final Fantasy 11 and ahead of some of those changes. World of Warcraft Midnight's coming out in a couple months, right? So that'll be a thing.
March. Yeah, I feel bad because I said, like, oh my god, give me Legion Remix. I'll play that day one. And it ended this week and I never touched it.
Yeah. I don't think it made the splash that they were hoping for.
No. Well, supposedly a lot of stuff in it was time-gated, and that turned me off to it, and I just have not been in a WoW mood.
That's fair.
And then this new expansion just does not seem interesting to me at all. The pre-expansion patch dropped this week and apparently broke everybody's transmog.
Well, that's because they redid, like, the whole UI.
Yeah, it transmogs the slot now instead of the item, but it's also more expensive to do so because they still want it to be a gold sink. But yeah, my first WoW expansion I'm skipping.
You're just going to skip it?
Yeah. I have
for Midnight? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, even the player housing just isn't appealing to me. And that sucks because I could have a lot of fun with that. Somebody built a life-size bottle of Garrosh on a throne in their house on r/WoW. It's like, that looks like fun on paper, but I got too much stuff to play elsewhere. Yeah.
man, is WoW over if it can't even get Kelly in?
Yeah, no kidding.
I know. What's up with that? I know. Makes you sad, doesn't
WoW,
it?
Here's this. Immediately puts new cat in game.
A cat race?
Yeah.
A cat allied race? That would get me back. Even for a month. Because I'd have to level a new character. I don't want to just race change my existing character because she's on my wedding cake topper.
But they already have cats in the game. It's called Feral Druid.
Meow. Yeah. They had that Shivara race. I think that's what they were called. In Warlords of Draenor, they were cat people. And that's how you had that.
They were just remodeled Worgens.
Yeah, they were remodeled Worgens. But I mean, that's what all the allied races are, is just remodels of existing ones. But yeah, they had that Shivara. And people have been wanting that druid form back so bad. The phrase, never forget what they took from us.
All right. Yeah. Well, it is still January, though, so I think it's going to be a while before I fully experience the year of the old MMO. And then I imagine a lot of stuff's going to get pushed into 2027, so maybe this is the beginning of the half decade of the year old MMO. Yeah, I don't know.
So, an update. Uh-oh. I just created an abomination that's a duck with a snake head.
No! Why did you do this, Kelly?
And the name of it is Duck Cake.
Mm.
You know, duck snake. But me, being the pervert as I am, I have to pronounce it Dukake.
Yeah, I knew that's where you were going. No. The quacking is everywhere.
the quacking and the hissing. I'm sorry. I thought that would get us a laugh. We got so dire.
All right. Who else hasn't talked about what they're playing? Josh, is it you?
Yeah.
Josh and me. So
go for it.
After 20 long years,
you've decided to stop playing Trails of the Sky.
No, we finally caught up. It's only taken 20 years for the English world. We're caught up.
What do you mean we're caught up?
We're caught up.
Because they're working on remakes, and we don't have the second remake yet.
That's right. Trails Beyond Horizon. That is the most recent game released in Japan. We're on it.
Woo!
You don't sound excited.
They're still. Mm-hmm. They still give us Reen.
Oh, poor Reen.
I'm still three games behind. I put up or rearranged my pile, my game pile, and it's like, okay, I guess I better put Daybreak towards the top because I need to play this at some point.
Have you gotten through Reverie yet?
Yeah, yeah. I played that last year.
Yeah, okay. So the newest one, Beyond the Horizon, like that's a good one since it is kind of like Reverie in that you're going to have like multiple multiple main characters that you swap between. Mm-hmm. So it's Van and his crew, it's Rain, and it's Kevin.
Oh, Kevin! Which I like Kevin.
Yes, doesn't everybody love Kevin? Kevin's like one of the best characters in the game. Yeah. The only knock I have on it is that like it doesn't start you with Kevin. Instead, it does the now very common Trails thing of starting you with a little, you know, like side thing where they introduce everybody and they all come together, you know, like gives you the little action bit prologue, but then actually swaps over to the main game where you're kind of going through and, you know, like having the story slowly develop. And the first one it dumps you in is the Van's story. So going around Calvard and Edith. And the gripe I have is that at this point, they obviously are kind of like, Falcom does this with the Trails games whenever they're starting an arc. You know, they always treat it like, oh, it's the beginning of an arc, so we have to treat it like nobody has ever played one of these games before, you know, and sometimes that's fine. Sometimes, I understand they want to have like onboarding points for new players like they did that with Cold Steel, I think. And, you know, Crossbell, like I think those worked fine. You know, like you can jump in there and start playing the series and understand what, you know, like you're not going to get everything, but you can follow along with what's going on. This one, they're kind of doing the same thing, only I don't see how you're going to be able to follow what's going on. It's immediately kind of like the first story arc is a lot of like wandering around Edith, meeting lots of, you know, going through the same thing where you're meeting all the people that you already know, but, you know, it's got to spend, you know, 5 minutes explaining who this person is and what their relationship is with Van. And that can be a little tiring. I almost wish at this point that they would just kind of like, they already kind of go through, like, they don't need to go to the extent of looking at all the choices that you made, but just the fact that like, hey, this person already played this game. They already beat the previous game. Like I'm almost to the point of wishing they would have like a different opening for the longtime players versus like new players.
I wish a lot of games had that, like new Pokemon games or new Harvest Moon games where they could ask you like, is this your first Pokemon or Harvest Moon? And you say yes, and you don't have to do the tutorial.
It's like, you already know what's going on. Come on, we're just going to skip all this for you. Yeah.
Yeah. and you're right. Trails games need that too.
Yeah, in the Trails sense, it's not so much like not understanding the mechanics. It's like, yes, I know who all these people are. We could edit this down a little bit. We don't need to have the long back and forth about who this person is and what their relationship is. I'm like, yes, I know. Yes, I've been here for 14 games. I'm up on it. If you're bringing back someone from, you know, 7 games ago, okay, I'm fine with a little bit of a refresher. But
200 games late, 200 hours of games later.
Yeah, way more than that.
I'm
afraid to think of how many hours I've put across this series. It's a scary thought.
I'm hard-pressed to think of a series with more games. I guess
all tie together? Yeah, that are all, yeah, you know, like, I mean, Final Fantasy has, you know, I don't know exactly how many entries when you include all the spin-offs and such.
Do I need to start talking about Super Robot Wars?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. No, don't. Not today.
We got so much news to get to. Not today. Oh. Not today. Otherwise, like, I am very, even if the opening is not my cup of tea, like, I'm very excited for where they're going, because, like, Trails Through Daybreak 2 is a little bit of it just kind of like spun its wheels and didn't go anywhere, and this one is already much more exciting about, like, where it's going to take the story. Like, you are starting out, they are, Calvard is, like, trying to, is about to send people into space for the first time in this world, and there are, like, there have long been things that kind of mysteries surrounding the continent of Zemuria, where, like, people who sail ships off into the sea past the continent just, like, never return. like this is the only place in this world that you can get to. So that's kind of, like, almost part of the interesting backstory of, like, trying to figure out why the heck that is. So, like, we'll see if going to space kind of brings up some of those kind of things. And then, you know, the Ouroboros is finally, they've kind of somewhat been in the background the last two games. Like, they've also kind of not been moving things forward. And it feels like, okay, yeah, they're finally back, and things are finally going to start happening again. But otherwise, it is very much just the Calvard games. The combat, I mean, has been tweaked ever so slightly. You know, there's a couple of things that have changed. They've added a new boost mode to the action combat, so now you can, after doing a bunch of attacks, you can kind of, like, enter this mode and you get, like, extra strength, so you can kind of, like, more easily kind of blow through the lesser enemies and dungeons, and, you know, kind of only have to do the turn-based combat for kind of the bigger battles. But otherwise, most everything is just like it has been for the last couple games.
Awesome. I look forward to playing it in 2028.
Yeah, about the time you can get caught up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you're going to get it caught up with all remakes, too.
Oof. That's a bridge too far for me. I'm just like, I think I've just decided, like, I'm like, no, I'm just going to pass on the remakes. It's like, I don't need another 200 hours of games I've already played multiple times on in most of them.
So you're not touching the Trails in the Sky remaster?
Mm-mm. I played Trails in the Sky like four times.
No, I don't blame you.
They've added a little bit, but I think I'm good.
Oh, it's understandable. It's long games.
Yes. Like, I played them all on PSP, and then I played them again on Steam, and, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to play them again. I love them, but it's, you know, there's only so much time in the day. Like, try to focus on newer stuff. But to the opposite of that, what have you been playing, Robert?
I have only played, besides Nikkei, of course, Tales of Zillia, the remaster. So, because I was playing that as my stream game, I was doing it as Jude, because I personally feel the even though you have your option to pick either Mila or Jude, Jude is the main character. Jude is the character that the kind of story really revolves around as a first playthrough. So I beat that. So I've been doing that. I actually beat that just the other day, on Sunday after a 7-hour stream. So, and then, so I am having, so I had to decide a new stream game to play. So as far as the remaster goes, if you have no desire to play it again and you played the PS3 version, you don't need to pick it up. Uh-huh. If you really like it, pick it up. There's some quality of life. There's some graphic improvements, but generally speaking, it is there's no new content.
I mean, it was a PS3 game. It's not like it was, you know, that far in the distant past. I suppose the big plus of that is just the simple function that, you know, being on a modern console or on PC, you can just start and stop and don't have to worry about save points anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, although there are save points, but yeah, it has a full auto save system.
Yeah.
So.
And I priced PS3s recently because I had to get mine fixed. There's, if you want a good used one, you're going to shell out about $140 to $170.
Yeah, saying. They're starting to get up there.
Yeah, especially since they seem to break randomly, like mine did. I hadn't touched it in months. I can't remember the last time I touched it, and the discs just would not accept.
So, I have a question.
Okay.
What, going back in time, what is the most recent system that would now be considered retro?
According to Andy, PS3.
PS3.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
What about handhelds?
Is 3DS? The Vita retro now? PSP and DS definitely would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so 3DS and Vita retro? Yeah, probably, right?
Mm. Yeah. Getting there. I mean, we're looking at stuff that's over 10 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an accepted time frame for retro?
I thought the usual one is like 2 gens, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It kind of but it gets weird with now that gens are so long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gens have been long before, though.
Not only are gens long, but there's so much overlap now.
Yeah, that too.
Like, what gen are we in? We are in the Switch to Xbox Series X, whatever max version they're working on. PlayStation 5 Xbox, Pro gen. Right? Yeah.
Right.
So then there's a Switch, PlayStation. So PS5 and PS5 Pro are the same gen? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say so.
Okay. So then we got the PS5 X gen and whatever gen. So PS5, Xbox Series, Switch/Switch 2. Those aren't aligned, the Switch gens with that gen. Then we go back when we got PS4, Switch for sure. Xbox One, and then we go back, we got PS3, Xbox 360. 360's been retro for a while at this point. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So is Vita a PS3 thing or a PS4 thing?
There's a little bit of overlap.
Yeah. It's like the Switch. They're not aligned.
Yeah.
The real retro is the friends we made along the way. That doesn't work here, does it?
No.
Okay.
But I know we've been using retro for PS3 games for a while as part of the stream team. So
okay.
Because I was streaming Super Robot Wars on the PS3.
It still kind of messes me up that the Wii is considered 10 years old and considered retro now.
I think the Wii U is retro now.
Yeah.
People would have had to had it to be retro. Wii U is such a weird one now. Talking about systems that have, there's what, like 3 Wii U games that haven't made it to the Switch?
Well, we got Xenoblade Chronicles X this year, which was one of my holdouts. And I know we got Tokyo Mirage Sessions, which was another holdout.
There's a handful of stinkers on there that I'm not sure anybody wants that may probably.
I would like Darkrai's Fantasia brought over, but I know that ain't happening because that has defunct company issues.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to feedback.
Feedback.
Get my sheet up. If you could bond with an ordinary everyday object that will become a powerful weapon, what would it be? And this was based off of an anime, I believe.
Yes, yeah, this was based off of an anime that was getting an art, game adaptation.
From Shaman, I'd bond with a portable power bank and serve as a healer. Also, the adventure game Jordan looked at is pronounced 1,000 times resist. Okay.
Oh, not cross.
Okay. I mean, you never know with those X's.
Yeah, it just would have been nice to, I don't know, sometimes I think games should be required to come with a pronunciation guide, especially if you're going into left field. But that's just me. And then from Strawberry Eggs, Maybe a pen to rewrite whatever is going on around me. Such an ability would be really overpowered, so maybe I could only do it in a limited way, like making opponents suddenly trip without warning. Maybe the more powerful the effect, the longer it takes to work, since I would have to write out the scenario.
I can see it.
I don't know. Question of the week this week, since most of us seem to be buried in snow, what's your favorite winter-themed area in a game? Mine is Snowden Town from Undertale, because I think it's beautiful and it has the most pleasant music.
The one that comes to mind for me is Sapporo in Yakuza 5, because I can still remember the bear hunting mini game that you had to do. Wandering through the snowdrifts, hunting that bear with the terrible mechanics.
Probably the one of the least controversial ones, Narsh, Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah. The one that I thought of that actually inspired this question was the whole snowy area in Final Fantasy VII. If anybody played that.
Did anybody play Final Fantasy VII? Is that what you're asking?
I wasn't sure if anybody here did, because I don't know what big Final Fantasy fans you are.
I've at least beaten that one.
I've beaten Final Fantasy VII as well. Okay. I bought a 3DFX Voodoo card for my PC so I could play it on PC, and I should have bought a PlayStation instead.
So you had that weird triangular box?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, me and my friends used to play that snowboard mini game so much.
I got really good at that.
So did I. So yeah, write in and tell us about your favorite winter-themed area. Just leave a message on the show thread on rpgamer.com and we will read your response in the next show if we don't freeze to death ourselves. It is quite cold.
I'm glad I only feel it in half my body. I'm not joking, by the way.
So, how about we get into some news?
Oh, okay. That's not random where cow. I expected that to go.
Kind of change it up every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Tangentially related, this new game that I'm playing, something about the music cut out last night when I was playing it on my Steam Deck. So I kept hearing animal sounds just randomly coming out of my speakers.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Including donkey bleats and moos, and it was weird. It was kind of messing with me. But anyway, sorry, you randomly mooing just made me think. They're like, wait, what? Cow? Do I have cows yet? No, I don't have cows yet.
Okay.
That was a joke, by the way. Inazuma 11 Victory Road next major update is going to release later this month. And they're also releasing a mobile game called Inazuma 11 Cross.
What is it cross or times?
We don't know anymore.
I was reading Alex's preview. I assume it's cross.
No, I'm pretty sure it's cross. I'm just going back to the other title.
I guess the update for the console game is going to add the Ares route to the game's Chronicle mode. I have no context.
Yeah, those are some words. Yeah. If I played the game, maybe they would make sense.
Yeah, it comes out on January 28th, so you can look forward to that.
Next week.
The Life and Suffering of Prince Geryon Kickstarter campaign has been announced.
Boy, this is a narrative RPG week.
Yeah, a follow-up to the title, The Life and Suffering of Sir Brant, which is also available on Steam. You are a crown prince. People's lives are determined from birth, and you start as the prince as a child, and I guess go through the prince's life.
Yep, you got stats, and you have dice rolls that determine, the whether you're able to make decisions or not.
Is that the kind of RPG that Citizen Sleeper is?
Yes, yes, okay. It's in that genre.
Okay, that makes sense. So
no real combat, but it's more, you know, like you have stats and dice rolls that determine whether you're able to do stuff or not.
Okay. And it does not say when this Kickstarter campaign is supposed to start. So just know that this game will have a Kickstarter campaign.
Launching soon.
Launching soon. I saw these in the eShop the other day. The Tinchi no Uta, the Angelverse collection, is released in English now. These are PC Engine games that were Japan only. Came out
in company that's been doing a lot of these like old PC games and English things lately. I've seen.
Yeah, I know that there's the Egg. I guess the PC Engine and the PC 88 are two different things, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking the Egg console releases, but this is something different. And these are like, you ever see screenshots of old anime looking games?
The thing I'm immediately thinking of, like, especially the first one, like CDI kind of look to it.
Yeah.
The second one looks has definitely improved.
Oh, I just see like, oh yeah, it's Record of Lodoss War hairstyles.
So. Not to mention the fact that the UI is always part of the screen.
Yeah.
Which,
unless you're in one of the anime cutscenes.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're both available on the eShop for $22.50 each.
And wow.
Limited Run is going to have a physical collection.
That's too much.
Yeah. Especially since it doesn't say if these games have any quality of life features.
$22.50. That's got to be like a direct, you know, it's got to be how much it was in Japan, and we're just going to make it into U.S. currency at that amount, right?
Mm-hmm. I also, there could also be some like recovery and also licensing because of, you know, because some of the companies that made a lot of these games are defunct.
Oh yeah,
so they have to like go track someone down to get the rights. I saw something about GOG having to do that at one point for a game, and like they found the dude who owns the rights because he was like the son or something of one of the programmers, and he didn't even know he had the rights to this game because it was sitting in his garage because it was like handed to him because the people who created it like was a family member and they passed away. He had just no idea he had the rights.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff to me. Just imagine being just a dude and you have the rights to something in your garage and you have no idea. Because it was in a box of stuff that you didn't get a chance to sort through. Anyway. I'm curious about these games, but not at $22 each.
It's a bit much for a, 25-year-old curiosity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on, Yakuza Kiwami 3 and Dark Tide shows yet more side content, aka the content you get sucked into when you don't feel like doing the main story. We have lots of karaoke videos from this on our site.
Yes. The karaoke that's been done in English. There's apparently a new side quest where a dog at the orphanage gets a dirty magazine, and you know, like Kiryu has to chase the dog to keep the dirty magazine from getting into the orphanage. The little kids getting it, like, no.
Okay, that's
no.
Funny. The dog ate my porn. I just liked it when he ate homework. And it was a different story on our site, but the demo also released this week too.
Though that is just a regular demo and no progress carries over to the game, nor is there any like bonus for doing it. So it's just a demo to see what it's like.
Okay. So not my kind of demo then.
No.
But look at this karaoke.
Karaoke in English.
Who's doing the voice?
Oh, crap. Yong Ye? Hmm. Don't know that.
Yeah, Yong Ye. He started as a YouTuber who does a lot of news stuff for video games usually once a day. And he actually immigrated to the U.S. to become a VA. I remember his video talking about coming to the U.S. for it.
Cool.
So he's been doing he's done VA work in several games at this point and a few animes. In fact, he was the villain in one of the JoJo Bizarre Adventures arcs.
Cool.
Seems to do a good job with the karaoke here, though. I still prefer Japanese Kiryu because
I'm
used to it.
We've got an Arthurian-inspired management RPG named Sovereign Tower that has been announced, set to release on Steam this year. I guess you're playing the kingdom's new sovereign, and you're managing the needs of knights and other denizens. Sounds kind of like Darkest Dungeon.
Hmm.
Nobody seems to be enthused at all.
It could be fine. The interface is very visual novel-y. This will take a long time if you make mistakes. Is it random or is this? I don't understand.
I don't get it either.
I get the idea of a kingdom management with visual novel style choices. My question though is like, how do I iterate? Do I just play it once and my story is going to be good? And my choices
it
are
it has
neat,
a function or? Where you can kind of like rewind time. And
yeah,
do
okay.
Things
so
over
one
again.
Of those.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Moving on. Dark Deity 1 and 2 limited physical releases announced from Super Rare Games. That is the UK or Europe one.
That's cool.
These are the Fire Emblem likes.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be available on Nintendo Switch for €37. I don't know how much that is in USD.
Weren't they made by one of the staffers at RPGFan.com? I want to say yes. I remember that came up with the first one, I believe.
Created by Sword and Axe LLC, funded by Kickstarter. Chip Moore and Dylan Takayama, who came up with the concept while in college. They used Game Maker. Yeah, so I think it's interesting that this is not the one that was made by the actual Fire Emblem guy to show off his Fire Emblem Maker, right?
No.
But this one might have done better than that series.
Crap, I think I just bought that one, and I'm blanking on its name now.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
I can't remember.
Anyway, I've heard nothing but good things of this. I just never got around to it.
Scar played the first one on the channel. I think it was a pretty long run too.
That other one is one of my backtrack homeworks for the year, the one that I'm blanking on. And by the way, and this game is available now on the Super Rare Games website, and the double pack is $42.30 US dollars on there, which isn't a bad price for both games.
Okay.
It comes with a bunch of trading cards.
Happy to see a physical publisher that isn't limited run, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although that guy left.
Oh, he did he?
Oh, he did.
He's gone. All right.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Several weeks ago, I believe.
All right, then.
Tangentially related, the new Bubsy game got a release date this week, May 22nd, and Atari's putting out a collector's edition for that. You bet your ass I bought that the second it went live.
I was about to ask, but yeah. I didn't think I needed to.
Yeah.
So,
it involves like May 22nd. That's 11 days after your birthday. You should have had that be a birthday present. I said, yeah, but one, I wanted to snap it up, and two, I don't know how I feel about an 11-day delay on my birthday present. And he's like, fair enough.
Yeah, so, he stepped down as CEO September, actually, of last year, and he will continue to be president until March of this year.
Hey, maybe we'll get more quality then. One can hope. Speaking of stuff going under, Chris, you said that this was the year of the MMO.
Year of old MMO.
old MMO. Okay,
you're so the old MMO. Yep.
A new one shutting down. Is that a big deal?
That's well, I mean, we've known this, but yeah, it's just disappearing. New World Eternum gonna end on January 31st, 2027. Gonna run until then, and the game's been delisted. I don't know why it's gonna run for a year, but okay. That's weird. I thought people liked it.
People liked it, but it was too old. It was new, but it was too old.
It's too new, but too old.
Yeah, so I mean, it was. I've seen some people play it. It's a beautiful MMO. It looks really nice. Like when it first launched, the only way to travel was by running.
So it was unoptimized.
It was not unoptimized. It was not modern enough.
Well, it also wasn't unoptimized. It wasn't optimized at first because it was blown up people's video cards.
Well, there was that issue too separately. But yeah, it had a lot of issues outside of just, you know, the optimization.
Okay. Oh, RIP, I guess. The only person I know that played that was Phil.
Yeah, my buddy Rosar played it for a while, but he did not stick with it.
But moving on, Dragon Quest VII Reimagined shows vocations and vicious monsters. So, the job system. So do you actually get the job system from the beginning, or do you have to wait 20 hours like in the original?
Well, not 20 hours. But it's a yes and no answer. So,
isn't there a demo? Can you get to it in the demo or not?
I can talk about that. Oh, okay. I played the demo.
Yay!
So so basically each character does start with a starter vocation, and they do have actual like skills tied with these, even the starter vocations. So like the hero starts as like a fisherman one, and he will get attacks and like actual attacks and skills associated with that one, and some decent, and like these are some decent skills pretty early on in the game. Now the demo at least only allows you to go up to level 4 on the vocation, so I don't know if that is something locked to the demo or if it's because I grew too powerful for the monsters, because when you do beat the monsters, and I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago, you actually see how many vocation points you get per fight. And it even has like a little like thing you can go into the status screen and view like where on this little like symbol is like how much is this filled up since the last time I battled.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that now, because that was not a thing in the original. No. I had to have a counter, an external counter app.
Oh.
And then vicious monsters. Are identified by their special aura and are very challenging, but defeat them will reward players with hearts, which can be equipped as accessories that provide rare and powerful effects.
Yep.
When does this come out again?
February 2nd, I believe.
February 5th is what 5th. I'm saying.
Unless you like buy it early.
Yeah.
So I will actually so I was talking about finishing Tales of Xillia here on the stream. So I was like, I need a new game to play for stream. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to play. So I have decided I will make that my next stream game, and then. But in the meantime, since it's not out, I am going to be playing some of the Dynasty Warriors Origins to fill in the time.
Cool. And I was being lightly sarcastic when I said 20 hours, but it feels like it's a long time.
No, you may have thought you were sarcastic. You're not sarcastic. I mean, okay. it was a very long time from the time you like start the game to get it.
Okay.
So, no, you may have thought you were sarcastic, but no.
Moving on. This I kept the story just for me. Experience Inc. announces Demon Kill Demon Yomi 1984. This is a sequel to Undernaut's Labyrinth of Yomi. I talked about this on our Dungeon Crawler Backtrack, the original Labyrinth of Yomi. That game is really good, guys.
Experience makes really solid, you know, dungeon crawling RPGs.
Yeah. I mean, it's no Etrian Odyssey or classic Shin Megami Tensei, but if you can get it on sale for like $30, that is an amazing RPG with a kind of an interesting story. And I'm excited that it's getting a sequel.
Yeah, because Experience, they made Demon Gaze, they made Stranger of Sword City. What else did they do? Operation Abyss, New Tokyo Legacy. They've done tons of first-person dungeon crawling RPGs, kind of their bag.
It's interesting you say Demon Gaze, because that's not listed on their Steam page. It's actually listed on Drogami's game Steam page.
They were definitely the developer. You know how weird that can be with Japanese-developed games on who gets listed.
Yeah, also, well, it also depends on who's still at the company and who's moved on. And going back to our Tanelco conversation.
Yeah. But no word when this is... Oh, wait. This will release in Japan on May 28th. No word of a Western release. And I guess there's going to be two story arcs that will be available on the physical edition, but separately digitally. So I'm hoping that we get this physically.
I think Axis did Labyrinth of Yomi, so yeah. Hopefully that'll come over that way.
Hopefully.
I've got the Steam page up, so... Axis did do Undernauts.
Yeah, I don't think there was a physical release of that, but that's okay. Anyway, moving on. Like I said, save that story just for me.
ain't no thing, chicken wing.
Pale Coins update explores the swamp. What the hell is Pale Coins?
Top down Souls like action RPG.
Okay.
What is this crap?
So Zelda, combat?
On Pale Coins, like, is this one of Chris's Bellatro slot games?
No.
Like, no, it's top down Zelda.
But Souls like.
Yeah.
That means it's hard, right?
Yeah.
Is it a roguelike? Or no. Okay. There's a demo on Steam right now.
Oh.
It looks cool, very pixel arty.
And I guess this update includes new challenges, mechanics, and quality of life improvements. So, yay. Moving on, Ratcheteer DX coming to PC, Mac, and Switch in March. This is a lo-fi action adventure RPG, so it looks Game Boy Color-esque, hence the DX.
Yeah, this was originally on the Playdate. Portable that has the crank.
Yeah.
So it was originally black and white. Mm. So they're making a updated version that's in color.
I see. The DX version includes a full color graphic CD quality stereo soundtrack and support for 10 languages. Players will also be able to select Pea Soup Green, Playdate Gray, and High Contrast Black and White modes. Oh, how far we've come that Pea Soup Green is a feature.
Oh, you've never played for a vast future then.
Gato Roboto, a Metroidvania with a cat in a mech suit, has multiple color options that you can unlock in the game, including Pea Soup Green. So, yeah, I'm aware. Yeah. I think it's funny.
It is very funny. And I hope Leo Grimm listens to this episode.
It's a very good looking Zelda-like game, though.
Very I like the looking soundtrack, too.
Yeah.
It's
I
like
to remember this one, yeah.
It's like, do they have the real authentic experience where the game turns off your backlight on your Switch, so you have to play by a lamp or get a little warm light?
Get one of those attached ones to it, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, enough Game Boy jokes. Frosthaven's Legacy of the Algox Early Access Update is available now. It comes with a new storyline, 3 new playable heroes, 5 new bosses, 2 unique biomes, a new pet, new quests, and new items. This is based off of the board game of the same name.
Yeah, it's a couple of board games that take more time to set up than it does to actually play, it feels like.
But has such cool miniatures.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Mechborn has been announced and is releasing for PC and consoles later this year. This is a roguelike deck builder that blends 90s anime with Greek mythology.
Yeah, so, you know, mech anime and then Greek mythology.
Greek gods.
So, yeah. You're fighting kaijus. Big old
Greek mythology inspired kaijus?
I guess, yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen it in the trailer yet. It just looks like mechs fighting kaiju with cards. You interested in this, Tam, because mechs, or is it the wrong kind of battle system for you?
I mean, I'm not a big fan of card things.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But I may try it.
Late this year, it says. So.
Dragon Ball Z Kakarot's Daima DLC Part 2 is out now.
Sure.
This is a follow-up to the DLC that released in July. Its playable characters, Mini Vegeta and Super Saiyan 4 Goku. They bothered to put Redford Super Saiyan Goku in this game. I thought nobody liked that form.
I can't explain any of this.
Vaughn, you're my Dragon Ball archivist. Did nobody like Super Saiyan 4? Or do you not know? Meanwhile, this DLC is $20 or available as a dual pack with the July DLC for $34.99.
That thing has had a crazy life.
They did. They just didn't like what it was tied to. He'll explain later.
Okay.
It takes too long.
I expect a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, I want a Zelda-style timeline to explain the Dragon Ball forms. No, I want a Kingdom Hearts-style timeline.
I am sure there's a YouTube video.
Because there's alternate branches, right? So, like, we gotta figure all this out. We got the manga, we got the sequel manga, we got the anime, we got the filler anime, we've got the sequel anime, and then all the movies. And so we need a very complicated chart. Very complicated.
But the best way to watch all of this is just abridged.
Is to not?
Well, there's that option.
Use a guide and only watch the stuff you care about? I don't know.
But also, abridged is funny.
Yeah, all right.
I'll allow it.
Was that Vaughn or you?
No, that was me.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
Thank you for allowing
it. It's funny. I'll allow it.
Celestial Return is releasing this spring. What is this?
Another narrative RPG with dices that are helping you make your choices and decisions.
Yeah.
But Cyberpunk.
Available PC via Steam. And yeah, lots of narrative RPGs. They must be easy to make. Sort of.
Well,
this looks like it's going for a disco, whatever, Elysium
disco
vibe.
Disco Elysium, yeah.
Disco.
Enshrouded is fully releasing on PC and consoles in fall of 2026. Why does this name sound familiar? Co-op survival RPG?
Well, it's from, it's not from who I thought it was. Okay. It's in early access now, right? So...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just what kind of game is this?
Skyrim.
It's a survival game. It's one of those
fantasy No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Co-op survival, like Pale World.
Valheim.
Valheim. Gotcha. Skyrim with co-op and survival tropes.
That makes sense. Okay. Doesn't give an exact release date from what I can see.
Just fall.
Mm-hmm. So.
In early access now, the 1.0 is what's coming in fall, so. Check it out. Watch people play it already.
The Witch's Bakery is launching.
Oh, this looks cute.
Yes, it does.
In quarter two, 2026. Looks like an atelier game, but with baking.
Yeah.
So we got a French witch. Literally, she's flying on a thing. She's got a cat-shaped familiar that can apparently is non-corporeal. And then you make bread. Because, of course, you do. You know magic, but you're going to bake with your hands instead.
Jet. Hey, no one, you know.
That's what she wants to do. That's what she wants to do.
Yeah. Who doesn't like freshly baked bread? Garl.
Andy doesn't.
What?
I know. Andy's just not a frick baked bread person.
Man.
What is wrong with Andy?
I know. You go criticize him.
The only problem with this game is it's going to make me hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to want a baguette.
Okay. You know? And then we have a spirit world that you have to go do things in. Wait, is this like... So you run your bakery during the day and then it's looks like you do puzzle platforming at night? No, thank you.
That's a weird combo.
No, thank you.
Sukuna Race and Ruin was a little bit of that. The farming was the thing, and then you went into side-scrolling worlds to battle monsters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of like that. It could be cool.
It looks like you have to heal people's hearts by doing puzzles at night.
And baking them
bread. And baking them the bread that makes them happy, yes. Or challenges them to confront their trauma, maybe.
No, that's
this ham bread. Croissant will force you to confront that person who hurt you.
Greedfall, the Dying World is fully launching.
Oh, I can't wait. Hairfrog needs to play this already.
What is Greedfall again?
Oh, it's you're like okay. Crappy Skyrim.
Oh, okay.
It's so good.
Hairfrog kind of liked the first one.
Yeah, I liked watching him play it. It's got some Euro jank.
But it wasn't as janky as some of the stuff he's played.
Oh, no. It's like just enough. And it has meme-y things like voice lines that are repeated way too often and storylines that are not doing a good job of trying to tackle the complex emotional topics that are involved in them and a constant need to drink a potion.
Things are about to get dicey!
Oh no! Drink a potion! Anyway, yeah.
Comes out on March 10th. Please be excited.
I am excited to watch Hairfrog play it.
Oh, this announcement comes with a new gameplay overview trailer as well as a confirmation that the two part of the title has been removed.
Yeah, that's weird.
Thus causing confusion, because I'm like, what? Greedfall?
Yeah,
it's a prequel.
Okay.
Is it?
It's set 3 years before the events of Greedfall.
Oh, okay.
So that could be why.
Makes sense. I'm not as confused now. This kind of made me excited. Fable is getting a reboot.
Oh, so you're the one who's excited for this.
Well, yeah, because I...
Wait, okay. Sorry, I thought they've been talking about the new Fable game. I didn't realize they were also doing a Fable reboot. Okay.
See, that is why I was confused, because I saw this announcement yesterday, and it was just called Fable, and I'm like, is this a reboot, or is this a brand new game? Because I had heard rumblings of both, but I'm excited, because back in the day, I bought a regular Xbox specifically to play Fable, because I heard it was supposed to be an amazing game, and I just never got into it. But I've always wanted to play this game because it looked fun. I wasn't in the mood for it at the time, and plus that particular Xbox was pretty janky. So is this a ground up remake or?
It's a reboot. It is set in that world, but it is its own thing.
Okay, so it's not the same story as the Fable we all know and love.
No, they're their own thing, but it's trying to be faithful to the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever that means. So I guess it means you kick chickens and your appearance probably
chicken
changes.
Chicken chaser.
Your appearance probably changes based on you know, what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, the appearance thing was always
Yeah, that's just a fable thing, right?
That's just a fable thing in every fable.
So you'll start as a kid, then you'll be an adult, and then who knows? Like, I don't know who was jonesing for like someone else to take on Fable instead of just doing something like this in a new IP, but here we go. This is what we're getting.
I mean, if it doesn't have the baggage of Peter Molyneux, it's within the realm of possibility that it could be good.
Vaughn says it was announced here that your appearance does not change.
Oh.
Based on your morality. So, okay.
But even games like Mass Effect had that.
I know. But, you know, Mass Effect is a retro game. I like hearing Tam's mind break at that concept.
It's coming from the Forza Horizon developers, but it looks good.
Is it? This is...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Same studio that does Forza Horizon for
Microsoft. And they've decided, let's remake an RPG genre.
Let's do open world RPG.
And set it in the Fable setting for reasons that I can't fathom.
IP, Chris. Why? IP, that's why.
Okay. Weren't these games reasonably popular back in the day?
Sure, but like, why does it need to be Fable related? Like, what is that bringing to the table, really?
Because if you call it Bob's Chicken Kicking Adventure, people won't have that name recognition.
But can you imagine the hype around Bob's Chicken Kicking Adventure?
I mean, yes, I pulled that name out of my ass, and it's like, yeah, that does sound like a good game.
I think you've proven that you can come up with new ideas and have them be interesting, and that doesn't have to just, oh, whatever.
But, I mean, dumb name I pulled out of my ass aside.
I want to know, will the Fable areas be part of the next Forza Horizons?
That's a good
one. Can I drive through Albion?
Can I race across here?
Okay, so I've looked up the studio. They have only made Forza Horizon. Yeah. They've made nothing else.
Yeah, not the real Forzas, the Horizons, the open world one. So they're like, let's do another open world thing.
That's the Fable one everyone likes, though.
And the last one they made was in 2021.
That's what everyone likes. Yeah.
I was trying to say with my sarcasm is that without the Fable brand recognition, it comes off as just another generic action RPG.
Excuse me. Well, he kicked the chicken.
You can turn people into chickens, kick them, and then they'll turn back into human and be acting like chickens for a little bit, and you can take them out in combat. So, isn't that great?
Yeah, so this is really just fate. This is not
It's action RPG definitely. Combat. It's like, there's nothing... Yeah, okay.
It looks like Fable.
Yep, looks like Fable, action RPG, looks pretty, nice designed enemies and spells.
He kicked the dude in the balls,
which
is very Fable-y.
Yeah, that's fine, like, whatever. It looks like an action RPG. It'll either be fun or it won't, which is fine, it's just... It's weird to me that you're sticking to Fable for this instead of having freedom to do your own thing.
Like I said, without Peter Molyneux's baggage, I am really curious how this will fare.
Especially since he attempted to do several Fable games and they never actually got off the ground after three.
Because wasn't that the big complaint back in the day that he promised the world and completely under-delivered, and that's why these games didn't do well? So now that he's out of the picture and the game can kind of stand on its own merit, it has the potential to be good.
Well, you also had the issue of some of their story beats were really bad.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll just have to see.
You're right. This is going to come down to the writing for me, probably. So we'll see.
Show me what you got. Well,
and the other big thing is, that, of course, it's going to be on PS5 day one.
Yeah, but cool. I'll play it on Game Pass, so.
And that also had me excited, since I am not an Xbox person. But
Are you excited about the other big game, Chris, that was in that
I didn't watch it, Microsoft, so I'm just release? Finding out now. Is it Beast of Reincarnation?
Beast of Reincarnation,
what's this about?
Was this the big Game Freak game that they were hyping?
Yes.
Game Freak? Huh.
Yes. Yes,
Game Freak.
What?
Yes, this is Game Freak.
So... is this the Pokemon the big company? Is yeah. this the Tomba sequel?
That's not Game Freak. That's Whoopi Camp.
What?
Game Freak is mostly known for Pokemon.
But I thought they made
Game Freak only has done.
I thought Pokemon. They made the elephant game. No,
they've
game.
Done other stuff.
Oh,
Tembo the badass elephant.
Yeah.
Gosh, what else?
Oh, the horse jockey game on 3DS. Yep.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Hmm. I'll tell you what they've made. They've made this. They've made a lot of Pokemon. They did the Solitaire Horse Jockey game. They did Giga Wrecker Alt, Little Town Hero.
Pulse Man, which was a Mega Man clone on the Genesis.
Yeah, they did Tembo the Badass Elephant. That's what I was talking about. Not Tomba. You're right. They did Drill Dozer. Yeah, I mean, this will be garbage. But like, what are they going for? I know, people like their other non-Pokemon games.
I mean, who knows? Maybe this is why Pokemon ZA was of lesser quality, according to
some people. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know a number of people who really like ZA.
I'm seeing action RPG. Included.
Yep.
Even Smoking Joe likes it, and he is hard to please.
A lot of people don't because of various reasons, but also I don't trust that they're making... unbiased decisions when it comes to that. Anyway, so what? Okay, what is this game? Action RPG? Is this like Fable? Is it open world town building?
To me, it has a lot more Nier Automata vibes.
Yeah,
do I collect Pokemon?
Maybe a Souls like.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't okay? Nier like game. So like, is Neo? No.
No.
Just go with Souls like, man. You'll be fine.
But oh no, I want a real Pokemon Souls like. That could be interesting. But
yeah, not happening. Move on.
So we have you can make vine bridges.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can like control plants.
Oh, she's got witch hair. So she's got witchy hair that can do vine stuff. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, YouTube is not loading this video very well. Let me try. Okay. Right, yeah, fight big monsters, and you got a wolf companion that you've been helping out. And what's the reincarnation thing about?
I don't know.
Also, yeah, Nier Automata, yeah, because there's robots, there's evil robots, it looks like.
Well, it's set like 2,000 years in the future.
Oh, I see, people are dead.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting.
It looks gorgeous,
yeah, it looks really good.
I am certainly curious. Plus, I always want to see. I always like seeing Game Freak do branch out.
Okay, all right. Given the themes I've seen in this game, it probably ends with you killing your wolf friend. It's really emotional, makes you cry.
Have to sacrifice him.
Yeah,
that would
because
be
it's the final beast of reincarnation, and killing them will rid the world of the plague or whatever. Then maybe just to really pile it on, maybe you have to kill yourself too. Which you'll want to do after you kill the wolf. So
Chris with the downer.
It just looks like that sort of theme. I'm sorry, I hope I'm wrong, but this has a like, we're gonna have a final battle in a field of flowers and something sad's gonna happen.
Fair.
I mean, that's been around since Drakengard did that. You had to kill your dragon in a couple
Jeez.
Of the endings.
Oof. But he's so fluffy. Look at this fluffy wolf guy.
He's so cute.
The tail is a bit scratchy. I don't know what's going on with that, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that wolf is dead by the end credits.
I'm telling you. All right, so when's this?
Summer.
Summer of this year.
Yeah.
Xbox, PS5, Steam. No Nintendo.
Not even Switch 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised by the no Switch. This wouldn't run on Switch.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah. It would run on the Switch, but it'll run badly.
They'll have to scale some things down.
Get rid of some textures.
A little bit. You won't feel as bad about the wolf because they're not as fluffy.
Yeah.
All right, what's the final thing I got today, then?
Aether and Iron launching for PC in spring.
Another narrative RPG.
Yeah, it looks like another narrative RPG set in the 20s.
Mm.
An alternate version of the 20s.
It's a narrative RPG, but then it has like some tactical combat where you're like driving, you know, down a road and have to like fight other cars.
Kinda, oh, this looks neat.
Different.
Yeah. And you recruit kinda allies. Cool. They have skill trees you can upgrade. There's gotta things you collect. Your ride. Yeah, all right. Free demo. Let me install this demo and then forget to ever play it.
No, that's Dalandar's thing.
No, Dalandar plays the demos.
Yeah.
I just don't play them.
No,
just
but he forgets that which ones he's played.
Oh, sure. That's fair. I could work on that. I don't think I'm there yet, though. I have to play
Chris
demos.
Chris just downloads them and then never plays them.
Exactly. And then eventually I'm like, I think I can get rid of this. I'm not going to play it. All right. I have some updated release dates for you. Not updated, but like, here's what's coming out this week. Or should I tell you what came out the past couple of weeks first?
Just hit the highlights.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't have those highlighted, so give me a second.
Trails came out.
Boy, Felina Fantasy, Tenchi no Uda, the Angels Verse we talked about today. Legend Heroes Trails. Yeah. Uh-huh. And Ark Knight's End Field. Is this a free to play?
Yeah, it's the I was commenting about this one. So
oh yeah, this is the furry apocalypse game, right? No?
Yes. Yeah, with massive like storm fronts that destroy humanity and the world and such. Yeah.
Okay.
So interestingly enough, like the trailer shows this game as having like very actiony combat.
Mm-hmm.
It's
does it not? Building,
it's apparently most of the game, from what I've been hearing, is you basically building factories.
But it's free to play, so there's got to be gacha pulls. But you're building factories?
Yeah, apparently I'm going
it's mobile RPG tower defense. That's why. Okay, yeah. No. Yeah,
well,
no,
the other
that's
game
the original.
Is the mobile...
This is the strategy one. I might need where is this? Is this on Steam?
It is not on Steam. It's on Epic. However, it does have its own PC launcher.
And you were telling me earlier you were downloading that cuz you don't like the Epic. You don't want to use the Epic Store for whatever reason. So Windows. What is Windows? Oh, Windows is their launcher.
Yeah,
I use Epic, so I'll use that just to have one fewer thing installed. Okay, I'll try that out. Let's see how garbage it is. Dynasty Warrior Origins, you know, because...
That was a DLC update. Oh, no, that's right. This was the...
Oh, this is a release of it on the Switch.
Two.
Oh, okay.
This was the Hades, like...
No. Hack
or
and slash RPG. This is a Musou, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm confusing that with something else. Well, I know that they released it, Dungeon Crawler.
So, like, Origins means it's a remake of the original story, then? I don't know how many Dynasty Warriors there are and what they do with their stories there.
So this one, they did, like, an original character for. So, I mean, every Dynasty Warriors is the same, like... Romance of the Three Kingdoms era stuff.
Okay.
But this one, you actually have like an original character you are playing as.
Oh, there's a review of the PC version. Let's see. War and Not Much Peace. The review just came. Oh, I'm probably stealing content from the next section, aren't I?
No, we don't have a Warriors review up.
Oh, yeah. It just posted yesterday. Dynasty sure. Warriors, 4 out of 5. Wait. What year is it? It posted a year ago. There we go.
Yeah.
Dynasty Warrior Origins, 4 out of 5. So they liked it. So
yeah, no, it's supposed to be very good. In fact, I'll be streaming more of it because I did do like one preview stream of it before.
Oh, okay.
So I am going to be using this as my filler game until Dragon Quest VII Reimagined comes out.
Alrighty, and Eldegard, whatever that was, Oh, it's an extraction game, but using magic and bows and arrows instead of guns. Okay, cool. And then Escape from Ever After. That's a big one. That's the one where you're working, you're fighting against capitalism in the fairy tale setting, and it looks like Paper Mario. Listen, there's a lot going on there. You'll have to go check it out and see if you like it. And then Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrated came to Xbox and Switch 2. So they can finally play the first game?
Yeah.
But Xbox already had the first game. I guess not.
No.
Okay.
It was a Sony exclusive.
I don't know when they get Rebirth, but eventually they will.
Oh, hopefully next year.
And then, okay, yeah. So that was some big stuff that came out. Now let me tell you what's coming out, including some less big stuff. Steel Century Groove for PC is a rhythm RPG. Carden CL Nintendo Switch 2 edition. So this was already out, but it's a Switch 2 version, it sounds like.
Yep.
Building. Chrono Arc Deluxe for the Switch, already out on other systems. It's a deck building roguelike, so you get two deck builders coming out this week. Code Vein 2 hitting for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. That's an action RPG, Souls-like-y inspired, right? At least the first one kind of was. I don't know. I didn't play it. I thought it was anime Dark Souls, and then this is the sequel. And then Front Mission 3 Remake hitting for PlayStation, PC, and Xbox. Tactile RPG with robots, but not the style that Tam's into.
No, Front Mission 3 is fine.
Oh, you're into... Okay, well, you going to do that one then?
I do own it.
Well, are you going to stream it? Is what I guess what I'm asking.
No, I.
You don't have to. Oh, I was just wondering.
Oh, and we got a raid from Rye Guy. Well,
hi there. Hello, Rye Guy. Thanks for raiding us. We're about to wrap up, but like, let's finish up strong. We've got Caves of Cud or Cood, which is a Switch port of a roguelike RPG from published by Kit Fox Games. I don't know much about Caves of Cud. I don't even
know. Been out for a couple of years on PC.
Yeah, but I don't know how to say it. This one, I think I've been waiting for a sale and just when I was into it, because it's got a very old school computer monitor style graphics to it. So I'd like to get around to it at some point because it looks neat. I like the look. Got a very, what if somebody put a lot of graphical design effort into Rogue on the PC or NetHack? So.
You mean Dot Hack?
No, NetHack.
NetHack.
Oh, okay.
Different game.
Yeah. All right. So those are my, Chris's picks of the week would be, the retro pick of Caves of Cud and also the, reaching back a week, I'd go for the Escape from Ever After. Will I play either of those? I don't know. All right. So we also have two others coming out. Vampire Bloodlines Rising on the PC, which is an open world, you know, Vampire the Masquerade set sort of game, right? It'll be hitting early access this week. And then Reincarnation Insurance Program, which says it's going for Diablo and roguelike shooter. So
Ascent?
Sure. Or Vampire Survivors with Path of Vampire. Vampires of Diablo. I don't know. I can't come up with a good one. Legally Distinct Vampires get reincarnated and kill monsters. Coming soon to early access. Oh, that on my wish list, and check it out when I see people playing it. This one has guns.
Rip. Sorry.
We'll see. We'll see. It could be great. Could be terrible.
I mean, they do call it Rip.
Oh yeah, it is Rip. R.I.P. Yeah. All right.
I'm sorry. That was.
Well, their demo got delisted.
Maybe because it's about to come out.
Oh no, I know. We'll be delisted. Yeah, because it's about to come out, and it sounds like they were getting some feedback for the demo. So I guess they want people to know that they're making tweaks, and it won't feel like that. So we'll see. All right. Anyway, that's
hopefully they'll do a new demo.
that's it for new releases. Yeah, hopefully they'll do a new demo. I think demos of games is really good. Okay. Then, what else we got? We have editorial? Yes?
New early access.
Oh, yeah, that too.
We'll just quick blow through this, but Hytale gets an early access
release. Yes! Minecraft 2. This looks
cool. Yeah.
Minecraft plus survival, which I thought Minecraft already had, but okay.
I mean, it does, but more people play the...
Sandbox.
You gonna play this, Kelly? It was very popular this week on Twitch.
Hytale?
Yeah. This week and last week, yeah.
It looks interesting.
Seems like Minecraft enjoyers would be super into this. As a non-Minecraft person, I'm not opposed to Minecraft. It's just like, this has no visual appeal for me. So I'm like, unless my friends get into it, I don't know that I'm going to touch it. But
right. It's $20, by the way. Includes exploration mode, creative mode, modding support, and multiplayer support. All important things.
What about Echoes of Elysium? It's an airship survival RPG.
Okay.
Yet another survival RPG. It's all the games now.
It's going to release on January 27th and is also $20 with the 10% launch discount.
You get to build your RPG. Yeah? Oh, no. Andy is telling me that open world survival RPG might be the new puzzle platformer with a unique art style. Gonna get a lot of them, aren't we?
I mean, it's
already have
genre.
So in this one you can build your airship and add on like engines and wings and stuff, so who knows. Anyway, it's early access. I don't know how fleshed out it's gonna be, so look for Echoes of Elysium at the end of the January. And then what we have, the no existence of Morphean Paradox. It's a follow-up to the visual novel the non-existence or the no existence, and it says it's like non-existence, but they put existence inside the word non, of you and me, with the early access version available for $7. So okay, it's a visual novel, just like it's follow-up. Why is there an early access for a visual novel?
This is an RPG.
Oh, this is an adventure RPG follow-up
to a visual novel.
Okay.
Which is a psychological fan service. Not really.
I don't know. They don't show any gameplay, so I'm assuming this is just appealing to people who like the characters. But
Down Darn, I actually saw a preview of this. See, right there. That's Battle.
Yes, yeah, but I have a screenshot of Battle. It looks like lots of abilities and first person dungeon crawl.
So Andy and I might like this.
Maybe. Got some good style for the menu of what you're doing. Like, this is like, looks like your home base. You can choose to rest, adjust your furnishings, change your mindset, which I assume is your skills, night training. I don't know what Rising Star is. And then travel, which I guess is go somewhere. So, yeah. Okay. I don't like the currency things in the upper corner because that looks like free-to-play currency. So,
it could just have two different
It could just be in-game currency that's inspired by that look, but I don't know, we'll see. Looks neat. When is it we don't know. It's out and it is now on early access right now.
Yeah,
you can go buy it for $7 and see what the heck it is and tell us about it.
It's actually on sale right now for $6.29.
Yeah, it was such a small difference in price, I didn't want to bother. All right.
Or you can buy a bundle with...
with the visual novel?
With the visual novel.
There you go. Now you'll be all the fan. You could be the big fan. We have a trailer for Deep Fringe Early Access, which looks like a tactical RPG with, like, very gritty post-apocalyptic future with robots and people wearing scraps of leather, and I don't know what's going on. It says a retro turn-based tactical RPG in a post-apocalyptic world. They're going to go for about a year on early access, they hope, and then do a full release. and you can play a demo right now. And if you don't want to buy it immediately, and then see if you like it, and then buy it or not. All right. And then finally, we have a editorial piece where a bunch of staffers gave us their top threes for 2025. See what Matt Mason, Ryan Radcliffe, Jordan McClain, Ryan Costa, Ezra, Alex, Elmandine Todd, all think about their best games for the year.
Oof. Yay.
Let's see. And then we have some reviews. Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate for the Switch. For the Switch 2 gets a 4.5 out of 5. So the pluses are all about like the game story and stuff. Excellent start for the remake trilogy. Packed full of exciting emotional moments. Superb presentational elements. But certain parts of the finale feel a bit forced in, and notable texture differences at times because you're playing on a Switch 2.
Yeah.
I
picked this up. I don't know when I'm going to get to it.
Hmm. Hadn't you already played it on PlayStation?
Yeah.
Okay, then. Why wouldn't you play it twice?
Because it was one of my favorite games.
Yeah, I know. That makes sense. Pokemon Legends Z2A review. Michael Baker did this one. Did I credit who did the previous review?
It was Alex who did the...
Oh, it was Alex Fuller. Thank you, Alex. Yeah. And then Pokemon Legends Z2A, 3.5 out of 5. Let's see. Nice return to previous setting. Ex-post-apocalypse. Okay. Was there an apocalypse?
This one happens in the future.
Huh?
This one happens in the future.
Oh.
Yeah, was there an apocalypse? The previous Legends game happened in the past. This one is the future.
I think it's more the present. It's a sequel to Pokemon X and Y.
Exactly. That's the previous setting. Yeah.
It is a sequel to X and Y, but it is the future.
Okay. Well, it would have to be, because otherwise it wouldn't be a sequel. All right. I don't know. Time.
We're going back to the future.
Time. Oh, your kids, Marty. Nice return to previous setting, ex-post-apocalypse, dynamic combat system, lots of exploration. However, necessary asset recycling on architecture. Main town theme gets repetitive, and the hitboxes and the critter AI need some work.
And I agree with all those criticisms.
Okay. I just haven't, this came out, people played it, they seemed to like it, and I haven't heard anyone complaining or praising it at all. Just like, yep, people who were already fed up with Pokemon stuff didn't care, and people who weren't had fun and moved on.
See, like, Stephanie Sterling said that it was one of her worst games of the year.
Ooh.
And saying that Game Freak should have more... should know better than to release garbage and blah blah blah, and I'm like, did we play the same game? Because I thought it was fine.
I love that Michael goes into a full paragraph of French here to talk about the localization into French of this game, because that's how he played it. That's really cute. So, you know, all right. Angeline Era got a deep look from Alex Fuller, which is, if you want to learn more about it, read the deep look. And you can kind of get some bump slash combat. So action adventure where you're like, you know, run into foes and that's how you attack them.
Oh, so it's like early ease.
I think so. Yeah. Right.
Bump combat.
Da, 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 da. Yeah. Go check out the there's a lot to say. So I'm going to direct you to listen to this, and let's see. Plays well on Steam Deck, says Alex. So cool. Then finally, Fairy Tale Dungeon Switch and Content Update Impression from Michael Apps. So he checked it out on the Switch and see how it plays there, so he can get his impression of it, as well as some info about the new content update that hit for the game. So if you've been waiting for that to maybe jump into this game, go read it, see what you think. I think people like this one, right? Aren't there like two Fairy Tale games and one people like and one don't? But I'm not.
There's four.
Oh. Oh, okay.
So there's the two RPGs from Gust.
Yeah.
People like the first one. People do not like the second one. Then there's two sort of indie ones, this one being one of them. And the other one was just like volleyball with fairy tale characters. This one is definitely, the other one is just, yeah, not that great.
But people like this one, right?
People do like this one.
Okay. I just want to make sure I have it right. All right. Cool. Well, now I've told you what's coming out. We've done some review of our reviews. I have to ask you all what you're going to play this week. Kelly.
Probably. Well, I want to get a lid on Hades at some point. So, yeah. Yeah, that.
Okay. And then Josh?
Well, like you have to ask. I'm in Trails now, so it's Trails Beyond the Horizon.
I feel like you've been playing Trails for 20 years.
It does. It feels that way.
Okay, cool. I'm not alone on that.
Isn't that how it's supposed to feel?
Apparently, yeah. All right, and then Tam?
At least Dynasty Warriors Origins, because I'll be streaming that, and I really don't know what else I'll be playing.
Are going to jump into Code Vein 2?
No.
So I would, there's a few things on my radar that I'd like to get into. As usual, I can't play most of them because I just don't have the time and the energy to really get into all these games, because I like to really dive into games I play. So I don't know. I will tell you that Escape Ever After and this RIP protocol thing are probably going to get at least a serious look from me to maybe play. Otherwise, I might just put some time into RuneScape and reading some novels. Oh, I really don't know. Yeah. But I'm trying not to go back to like PoE and stuff. So I'm like, let's keep looking at new stuff for me and or old stuff that it'd be good to get back to. Something fresh. If you would like to answer our question of the week, you can do so by going to rpgamer.com, finding the show thread, and putting it right in there. Tell us what you think.
Your favorite winter-themed area in a game.
All right. Tell us your favorite winter-themed area in a game. I'm still... I always... One of the first places I think of is... The snow area from Earthbound and the good soundtrack it has. You don't spend a lot of time in there, but it's fun. Let us know what you think. You can also share it in the YouTube comments, the Discord, and what's the other place? Blue Sky, I think? Right? Maybe? Yeah. And we'll read it here on the show next week. I think that's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks, Kelly, Robert, and Josh for joining me, and thank you for sitting in the chat, hanging out with us on twitch.tv/rpgamer or in your favorite podcast fetcher of your choice, and we will see you next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything Hopefully. Interesting to note for like stream stuff, Tam?
I'll be going tonight. I and Peter will be on tonight, and then I think we're pretty much normal this weekend. So, although Peter will be starting a new game because he finally beat Persona 3.
Yeah. Good for him. That took a while.
It took a year.
Oof.
It's a long game. And this was the reload. Yeah, reload. So, I mean, it's a long game. It did it, but yeah, it took him like a year. Dead. And I mean, he also, like, he only streams 2 days a week and, you know, a couple hours a stream. And then, you know, and then we have, you know, vacations and stuff come up too. So sometimes those long games take us a long time because of it, which, you know, nothing bad about it. Just happens.
Yep. All right. Well, join us for that stuff on Twitch this week, and we will see you next week. Until then, everybody, it's time to say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.